Hey, hey, check 1, 2. Hey, hey. One, two, one, two.
Okay.
It is Wednesday, March 26th, 2014. This is the IDN Variant TLD program update. We are located in Canning Room. The local time is 8:29.
Okay. So good morning. I think we're going to go ahead and get started. Hopefully we'll have a few more people trickle in. But let's go ahead and get started. It's a few minutes after 8:30. So good morning. My name is Naila Saras. I work on the IDN Variant TLD program, well, on IDNs in general. And today we want to give a little bit of an update. This has been kind of a traditional thing we do at ICANN meetings, give an update on the Variant TLD program. So we'll do the update, which will include several presentations also from different pieces of the program that are going on right now, including work by the integration panel. So let me tell you who we have this morning, and then I'll go into the program. So we have, I'll explain who they are later in the process of what they're working on, but we have the integration panel here with us in Singapore, Nicholas Osler, starting from left, Asmus Freitag, Michelle Sunya, Will Tan, and I believe Mark Blanchet is here. So this is just so you guys know that the integration panel is here, and then the staff that you're very familiar with. So we'll do the update, we'll talk about the startup repertoire, the starting repertoire, we'll give a little bit of details on the label generation rules specification that we're developing, and then we want to do one community update today about what the Arabic community is doing, and there'll be much more on all of these topics later today. So I think everyone here, I will go through this very quickly. I think everyone here is well familiar with what we've been doing since 2011 with what we're calling the Variant TLD program. In 2011, ICANN formed a project to look at issues with what was at the time and still is being called Variant TLDs, to try and arrive at a common definition of what we're talking about when we say Variant TLDs, and then to look at issues what issues come with what we call Variant TLDs and try and develop some mechanisms for handling those issues. And as a matter of fact, I think, I was thinking last night, it was right here in Singapore in 2011 where we lodged the first phase with six community working groups that met here to start looking at their scripts. And so that is what we're calling phase one. Phase two was to take all the work from these six groups, synthesize it, integrate it, look at the common issues, look at what's unique, what are unique issues to each script. And this phase also identified further areas of work that still need to be explored, looked at, et cetera. Which led to phase three, and some of the areas of work that were identified were, well, we needed a mechanism. If we were going to call a label a variant label, we needed a mechanism to create, for a procedure to develop those rules. How are we going to go about actually developing the rules for what are variant labels? We also did more work on some. One of the areas of additional work that was suggested is how would the user experience be impacted under active variant TLDs, if indeed they are implemented. And then there was more work identified on creating a specification for representing the label generation rules in XML format. So that was work was all started. The middle one, the user experience, has been wrapped up and completed. And the first and third items are current work. And in fact, that's what we're going to discuss mainly in this presentation, is the implementing of the procedure that was developed in phase three, what we're calling the label generation rules procedure. Very, very quick overview of what this procedure is, and the integration panel members will talk more about this morning and later this afternoon. So essentially what the procedure, and this was a community effort that led, there was a community working group that worked together on what this procedure would look like. What the idea is that you have script community groups get together, work on label generation rules for their respective script community. When they're done with their work, they submit it to what's called an integration panel, people I introduced a little bit ago. They do analysis review of that work, and then when both parties agree that this is a stable enough set of rules, then they admit it into what's called the label generation rules for the root zone and do the integration work. So the outcome of that, why we need label generation rules, is they'll allow us to know what is a permissible label to go into the root zone, what are the corresponding variants, if any, and which of those labels can be allocated. And we'll talk again a lot more on this later. So in terms of the staff's work to implement this procedure, as I said, there's community work, there's ICANN work, and then there's the integration panel work. Where we are today is we've done a lot of the second half of 2013 and up to now has been laying down the foundation to enable the implementation of the label generation rules procedure. So let's start with the ICANN work, what's labeled in the green box is the ICANN work. So the first thing we had to do is to actually put an integration panel together because the procedure calls for a certain amount of work that needs to be done by the integration panel first, and it's the starting point for the generation panels. So the panel was constituted September of last year. And it's been doing their they've been doing their work, and in fact, they've delivered the first set of work tasks that they have, which is the maximal starting repertoire. It's currently in public comment, and I want to take this opportunity because it's the only place where we talk about the public comment right for this morning. It's in public comment, and the public comment period, the date I have up on the slide, closing 21 May. Represents an extension. So this morning I'm announcing that we're essentially extending the closing date for public comments, mainly because it's a major piece of work that deserves a lot of review from the community, and we want to make sure that we're providing ample time to do that. So we'll be changing that in the corresponding public comment forum after this meeting, and the integration panel members will talk more about what's in the startup, in the maximal startup repertoire. So that's on the ICANN. Also, what we've done a lot of in the second half of last year, not as much visible work, but a lot of preparations for generation panels to constitute. So we put together a project website. We created a document repository of some documents that might be helpful. Put together a document that talks a little bit about how to actually go about forming a generation panel, a community generation panel. Those are the things that I can think of the top of my head. So that's all on the project website. On the top part of the chart, the community work, we've made some great progress. We expect, as I said, community generation panels to exist for each script. It's not a small task. We have one panel that is currently up and running, doing work, the Arabic script generation panel. In fact, they met here in Singapore 3 days before we all met to do the rest of the week. So they've had their first face-to-face meeting already. And what's labeled as not started is a little bit of a mischaracterization. We know there's a lot of community work that's going on to form additional generation panels. And I have a slide next to talk about which ones are in the process of being formed. But essentially what this is trying to depict is this process is dependent on both sections to actually complete or to actually see fruition in order to enter the phase on the right, which is the finalizing label generation rules. And on the section on the right, what we're talking about here is once, again, per the procedure, once a generation panel completes their work, submits it to the integration panel, it goes into public comment right away, so the committee sees what the community is proposing. Once that's completed, the integration panel does their integration work, and that also goes into public comment. And eventually you get to what's a proposed first release of the label generation rules. And I say first release because if you look at the procedure, it calls for iterative releases. So we do understand that the label generation rules are going to be a product that keeps getting bigger depending on how soon the community generation panels are coming through. I can go to the next slide. I said we know that there are several communities that are in the process of forming panels. The Arabic community, which we'll hear from later in the presentation, is seated and doing work on the label generation rules. We have Chinese, Japanese, Korean, and Neo-Brahmi panels in different stages of being formed. Lots of work going on in those communities on pulling resources together for panels. And I should mention that there will also be more in this afternoon about what it really takes to put together a generation panel. Who are the people that we're asking to volunteer their time and effort to come and do this work? And what type of resources are coming from the ICANN side to help support the work, et cetera. And then we have two panels that we are calling in the expression of interest state. So the procedure that we've set up, we put a call for participation out, and then we provide an email address for people to respond and say, yes, I'm interested in working on X panel. And so we've received several interests for those two panels, the Cyrillic and Latin, and we're currently working with these individuals as well as other people in the community to try and create a little bit more additional people that may be interested in forming that panel, because the interests we have now are fairly small in terms of numbers. So pretty much in summary here, what we're trying to do with the last few slides is to say that the LGR procedure that we have is a community-based procedure. It needs pieces of work that I showed on the previous chart to come together. So there's ICANN work and there's community work, and in order for this to happen, both have to come through for the label generation rules to materialize. And again, we're interested in comprehensive, complete work, and that's what we're going to be striving for. So what are we doing on our as staff? What are we doing on our side to help to help promote participation and just do a little bit more outreach? So we're basically going to. You're going to see us probably reach out to certain individuals a lot more and ask for participation. But we also need to be careful that this is a community effort, and the community needs to decide what works best for them. So that's in terms of involvement, is we're calling on the community to please come and help with this effort. There's also a major amount of work that's out now for public review, which is the maximal starting repertoire. Integration panel members will talk more about this. But essentially, this is really important right now that you have time and for communities to have time to go in and look at this. This represents the starting point for generation panels. What's been included or excluded in the in the maximal starting repertoire impacts them. So we're calling for even though panels aren't constituted yet, to please try at least to dedicate some time to reviewing the maximal starting repertoire. Please call on your colleagues, your friends, and your contacts to help participate in this work. What the staff side are going to do, have been tasked with, is to also provide support in the background. Many of you that have been involved in previous stages of the work, specifically the script panels, you saw that the staff took on more of a coordination role. And that's kind of what we're targeting in this one as well. So for the panels that exist or in the process of being formed, there's one staff that's mainly dedicated to that panel. It helps us as staff to be coordinated in what we're saying to the panels, and it helps them have a point of contact when they're trying to ask questions and get details on how we can support them. So we propose to have at least one person dedicated to the panel to help it form and see it through its work. We will continue to maintain the project website. We hope to make it a good resource for panels to come to and a good repository for data on what's going on with the implementation process. And as per the procedure, it calls for providing advisors to help panels with their work. So the procedure provides for a lot of collaboration to of course happen between the generation panels and the integration panel while they're doing their work. But the integration panel is a body that has to assess the work at the end. They're not, so therefore, there may be a need for more of an advisory role, and the procedure provides for that. We do have three advisors currently assigned to the program, and they can be provided to the generation panels. The procedure also provides that if the advisors we currently have on hand don't have the expertise that are required by the generation panel, depending on the request, we can also hire additional advisory expertise. So what we're trying to say here is the resources are available or as much as we can to help facilitate that work. I'm not going to take time on these two slides that we have here. They're basically resources slides that summarize some of the infrastructure that I talked about earlier, the project website, the document repository, et cetera. And I encourage you to look at this information when possible and if needed. With that, I'm going to close the topic on what's going on with the variant program. I do see that we have people already queuing up. We were planning to have a question and answer at the end.
So yeah, just a small question from your slide. Because in your slide, you're talking about the Japanese and Korean panel is being formed. Can you clarify? Because as I know, it's not yet.
Thank you. So being formed is a fairly a wide spectrum of stages of being formed. It's a little bit further. The work is a little bit further along than expressions of interest. In the case of Korean, and I don't want to speak actually for the Korean generation panel, there'll be presentations this afternoon, and specifically Dr. Lee is going to talk about the Korean. They've identified a group of people to work on the Korean panel, and they're looking at putting together their proposal. So they're a little bit more advanced than that. I think the Japanese, I'm not going to speak for the group. I think we should wait for, I believe that we might hear from them this afternoon during the community updates part.
Quick question.
Yes.
Same slide. Are we talking about script or are we talking about language?
Script.
So why is it on the script on the left-hand side and language on the right-hand side?
So tell me which of, on the right side here, the slide you were talking about, this slide, right?
Because there's no such thing as a Chinese script. There's only Han script.
So I take that, and you're absolutely right. And this has been happening since the beginning of the program where we had the Chinese script panel to do to study the issues with Chinese script, and we've continued with that terminology. And you're absolutely right. We need to fix that.
The terminology is very important because it defines how the variant is going to be generated. And if you're doing Chinese script, then you can have a Japanese on over there. But if I have Han script, then there's not going to be a Chinese generation panel and a Japanese generation panel separately. They should be a one panel.
Yes?
Go ahead. This is an issue of label. It's maybe unfortunate that this is written down this way, but it reflects the column on the right was meant to be cursory overview of the status and the entry Chinese, Japanese, and Korean represent the three generation panels that will be formed. Mm. And identification of the script for which these generation panels will do their work is going to be perfectly accurate by the common designation of script because it's going to use an ISO code for that. But we're not going to present ISO codes here.
I do not know about Korean, but I do know that the Chinese is forming a generation panel, and I know the Japanese is forming a generation panel, and they are not the same panel.
Yes, that is entirely correct.
Then that's a problem, because then you're talking about language, not script.
I think this is probably not the time to go into that level of detail, but the what Naila is trying to communicate is that there are three panels being formed, one in China, one in Japan, and one in Korea, and they're going to each create an LGR with a different mixture of the use of actual scripts. So we all know that the Japanese and the Chinese are using the Han script. The Chinese are not using hiragana and katakana. And there is not going to be a separate, for instance, an LGR for katakana only, even though it is technically a script. The breakdown by script works really well. According to one scheme, everywhere in the world, in Asia, there's an issue of overlap, and we are working on figuring out a way how to create sensible LGRs that work in that. But this is not new news. This entire issue has already been known at the time. The procedure that governs this work has been written and is reflected in the discussion in that document.
On this is please come to this afternoon's session from 1 to 3. All three are, at least two of the three are expected to speak on this and tell us what's going on in their communities in terms of forming the panels. So there'll be a lot more this afternoon. I'm, in the interest of time, I want to move to the next topic, which is the maximal starting repertoire, and on to you, Michel.
It's okay. Good morning. So So just for, I would put the context for the MSR first in the in the whole environment of the LGR rules. So the maximum starting repertoire on the whole label evaluation rules are really part of the whole process, the key components of the root zone LGR. And that's how you have to see this repertoire being used is going to be basically helping the label generation rules to be created. And again, to kind of summarize what was said before, the LGR will basically allow a set of permissible labels for the roots. That's kind of the key mission, is to allow roots label to be created within the framework. And also a key aspect was to make this totally automated. So far, a lot of TLDs have created their labels in a partially automated but not fully automated. So this was a key consideration was to make this process totally automated. And again, we cover a set of scripts, and that's kind of the definition. We have an amount of scripts to be covered, but each script, when you validate them, are treated separately. We have LGR rules for each script, and each generation panel will create those rules to be integrated in the whole LGR. So that's where the repertoire is important to determine how we start, is a starting point. So the maximum starting repertoire was one of the initial tasks, the one we for sure spent most of our time in the past months to create. And it's the outer limit of code points allowed, so it's basically the envelope for all characters that can be added on the root. We did use a subset of IDNA 2008 p-valid characters. That's in clear is what is allowed by the IDNA 2008 RFC. P-valid character is basically the denomination for those allowed characters. We extended it to Unicode 6.3 because IDNA 2008 was originally created, I think, in Unicode 5.2. But does allow for extension as new Unicode versions are created, which is a key benefit, by the way, of IDNA 2008 compared to the previous version. So we did use a facility offered by IDNA 2008 to do that. There is further restrictions that are not, in fact, from the integration panel, but are created from outside consideration, like no digits, because you cannot have digits in root labels. That's kind of has been the case as well for ASCII TLDs. No punctuation, that's for a confusability issue on context dependent. Those are basically the zero width, the the invisible context characters, which again have issue on security because they're invisible. So although they're useful for some, you know, writing system, they're really a major issue on the root. And then we had further elements that we had obviously ourselves to qualify. Those are not, you know, black and white. We had this issue about not including historic, obsolete, or limited use, because obviously the root is a shared resource, and as much we should be able to, you know, create a common ground that everyone can use. Although we define a fairly large MSR, it doesn't mean everything will be included on the LGRs. LGRs will, created by the different generation panels, will make their own choice. They will determine which character, you know, would be acceptable. And some may be, in fact, excluded, or at least will be restrained by contextual rules. Some character only allowed in some context, and those should be defined explicitly by the generation panels. So the status, we created the first version, has been out since March 3rd. It's currently under public comment. As you heard, the public comment period was extended to May. We focus on scripts for which we had IDN TLDs that have been applied for. That's kind of easy way to see interest if people are, you know, asking for IDN TLDs. That's a good sign that people are looking for, there's a demand for it. We also added related scripts because sometimes, you know, especially for variants, it's important that we put together scripts that have a connection or at least from, you know, even a geopolitical concern that, you know, scripts should be really addressed together. Or if you have, like, family, good example, for example, if you have Thai IDN TLDs, you probably want to consider Lao at the same time because those two scripts are so related, stuff like that. It will be adjusted. You know, what is MSR1 today is not the final word. That's why we have a public comment period. It will be adjusted based on public comments. So it's very important for communities that have content expressed in MSR1 to express their opinion now, not in 2 months from now, but really in this forthcoming weeks. It would be, this is not the last version. There would be MSR-2 or further versions when more scripts are added. The key word here is more scripts. We don't expect existing scripts that are in MSR1 to be significantly updated in first future version. There may be minor adjustment, but for the sake of stability, it's very important that once a script is added to MSR, it does not change significantly, because there's really some serious stability issue, especially if you try to remove something that was added in the previous version. That would be very, very deadly for the stability. You know, adding may be considered, but it's even that is, you know, because of the variant situation, we have to be really careful on keeping a repertoire for a given script on related scripts to be stable as much as possible. So what will happen when MSR1 is finalized, which should happen, you know, in, I would say, late spring, early summer, if I well understood, with the new schedule. The generation panels will select code points from the MSR. Key point, from the MSR, not from IDNA 2008. They have to go from what is in MSR, and they cannot go outside of that set. And they can include characters from that collection in their own LGR repertoire. So that's, you know, and they don't have, it doesn't mean they include all of them. They have to justify for inclusion every character of the MSR, I mean, of inside their own LGR. So we need, really, it's important, the integration panel will look for having justification for every code points added on a given LGR proposal. And each LGR is likely to have more elements. Some simple case may not need much more than just a repertoire, but some scripts will need to have quite a few more rules, especially concerning variants. Variants really need to be covered by many of those scripts. And some may have contextual rules. For example, you know, if you I have a character that can only appear at the end of a string. You have to express that in your LGR in a, you know, through the mechanism allowed by the LGR syntax. We expect, given the nature of the IP feedback mechanism, which require unanimity, it's very important that we have ongoing dialogue between the LGRs on the integration panel, so we avoid surprises. We really appreciate to have connection on dialogue, and we already saw that this week, in fact, through some communication between us on the forming generation panels, and we do appreciate those communications. The integration panel will obviously review, accept, or reject script LGR based, for integration based on those criteria. We will require, again, justification. And based on that, we will, based on also the procedures on the guidelines that we ourselves are bound to, we will basically take decision based on, the guidelines that are provided to us. So this, is a picture of the process where you see in the middle top, you have the yellow text that shows what is our initial task for the integration panel. And then you see on the lower right, I'm not sure if you can read from where you are, those are the tasks that the generation panels will create, basically creating a repertoire, the variant mappings on disposition for variant mappings. And then when they are done, they will have public comment, and they will try to integrate in the LGR, and then there will be basically an IP integration panel decision to either accept or reject the proposal. If they're rejected, they go back to the generation panel to create a new version. If they're integrated, if they're accepted for integration, we will do the actual work of integrating the LGR into the, the root overall LGR system. Yeah, some numbers. So we have 22 scripts. We're talking scripts, not languages, just to be clear. And as you see first, we see the in Western Europe, Cyrillic, Georgian, Greek, and Latin, and obviously used as well in Africa. You have Arabic and Hebrew, and then the Han ideograph. We don't call them Chinese. We're just very clear that this is Han ideograph, obviously used among at least China and Japan, and possibly Korea. That's the decision. Hangul syllables on hiragana, katakana, which are required for Japan, which is one of the cases where Japan requires multiple scripts for their languages, which could also be the case, by the way, for Korea, if they choose to have both Hangul and Hanja. And then you have a set of scripts that are used in mostly in India, plus Sinhala for Sri Lanka, and then Thai and Lao. Those are the set we have today. It's again, you saw before, this is not based on, the selection is basically purely based on the fact that IDN TLDs have been, applied for. And it doesn't really, determine the choice from us beyond this IDN TLD application. There's two additional scripts, for the gory details that commonly inherited are not really related to languages. They're just shared among scripts, but they're required for a lot of cases. And we have a lot of those. Some of those included in MSR as well. It's a total of a bit over 32,000 characters. Interestingly enough, there's about 11,000, a bit more, Hangul syllables, and a bit less than 20,000 Han ideograph. You can do the math. There's, in fact, a fairly large section reserved for Asia on this set. The role label evaluation rules is something that OBC as integration panel we don't do much. We have a very simple set. You kind of give an example of what you would have to do in the various in generation panels. The only one we have today, which is applied to all scripts, is one that prevent the leading combining marks. Combining mark, you know, is a character that has to be associated with a base character, and so you expect the base character to precede that combining mark. So having a combining mark starting a label will be a bad idea. So that is a very simple rule that we do apply to every label being submitted to the LGR. So that just give a very simple example that is basic enough that it is required for every script in usage, but we expect much more rules to be created on this system of wall label evaluation that will be applied to various proposals made by the GPs depending on their own script. Some may have simple one, some may have none. In fact, we expect some of the generation panel not to have any additional WLE rules. We expect some of them to have, in fact, fairly complicated rules. So, but those will be evaluated when we receive them, obviously. Variance, obviously, that's a key aspect of some of those scripts, showed in the top, a traditional versus simplified version of the thing, something called it's a snake-like fish in Chinese, I think. I'm not going to try even to say how you say that, but on the left, you have the traditional radical variant of it. In the right, you have the simplified. Even simplified looks complicated to me, but this is a bit simpler than the other one. And then underneath, you have Strasser, which can be written two ways, as a double S or with the sharp S. And what both allowed in IDNA, since IDNA 2008, by the way, the sharp S was not part of 2003, but that's long story. Anyway, so those are variants. And so if someone allow one side, Strasser with a double S, they will need to have some definition of a variant for it on having a disposition or what to do with it. So those will be covered, by the way, in much more detail in other presentations. I'm not going to go in too many details about this. Important point, all those mechanisms are not part of the MSR. MSR does nothing about it. It's really the work of the generation panels to come up with defining their variants and also working on the disposition of those variants to determine what should we do. We do have some advice for the generation panels that it should be the use of allocatable variants should be minimized as much as possible. You know, there is some issue with allocating variants which go beyond, you know, this the integration panel. It's more like a DNS concern. So block variants are never an issue. Block variants, you know, is a perfectly fine system that doesn't really create any issue beyond basically limiting access to some names. Block variants should be really a very common mechanism in a lot of scripts that have homoglyph, have confusable characters. Yeah, this is just an example on the MSR1 deliverables. We did provide multiple files. Some of them are, I would say, formal definition. For example, we have an XML file that describes the MSR1 content in terms of the, XML, and this can be totally automated, extracted, data mined. You know, you have a lot of tools that can look for information into it, so it's very easy to see content. At the same token, we thought that it would be useful to have a bit more human readable version of it. So we have created a set of PDF files that do contain in a Sharp-like format that is also used, by the way, to create the Unicode standard on the ISO equivalent. So we use the same format, and it makes it a bit easier to locate your characters. On. So we have a notation on this one that shows for the white as the IDNA 2008 non-p-valid, so it's basically outside of the sandbox for us. So you can see, 370 on the Greek is an archaic letter that is outside of the IDNA 2008. The next character, 371, is a p-valid character, but we did exclude it because it was obsolete. So that's only shown in pink. On the other hand, you can see obviously that the character small alpha, which is 3b1, is obviously completely allowed in Greek. So that's they show as yellow. And so the document contains, you know, page after page of those characters. And we also did that for the CGK section. Although we use a different convention on those, we did not want to show, because by definition, every hand ideograph, unified ideograph, are p-valid, all of them. That represent, you know, I don't know, at times 6.3, that's probably over 60,000 or 70,000 characters. So we didn't want to have pink everywhere, especially for the extension A, B, and C. So we show only the in the extension of the for the CDK ideograph, we show all yellow are basically the characters we added. We don't have a pink concept in the CGK because we don't really need it. It's a simpler, by definition, everything that is not yellow would be pink if you want. So we kept them white. So that concludes the presentation for MSR1. There will be more details provided to MSR1 this afternoon for people interested. And obviously we can answer questions about the MSR later, either this morning or again this afternoon.
Quick question. In the generation of MSR, which is fine, the exclusion is based on the principle that you described and has nothing to do with visually confusable character, right?
You want to answer?
If I may answer that, no. Exclusions are based on the principles that we are going to. I mean, I'm going to present a longer presentation in the afternoon where we go in all details about the types of exclusions and what we're doing, and they have nothing to do with visual confusability.
Thank you very much. I just want to make it clear that we are not dealing with visually confusable character in the variant generation.
The MSR work is concerned with providing an initial outer limit for the LGR. There's no confusability work involved in it. I don't know where you're coming with that question.
So the next topic on our agenda is filling you in on what we call the LGR and XML. Early on in this project, we recognized that there wasn't a standard that we could rely upon for expressing label generation rule sets. Historically, we've had IDN tables of various different formats that were relatively primitive in terms of how they were formulated. Each one was formulated to the specific requirements of the generator of the particular IDN table. If we're to have a project that's going to integrate the output from a variety of different disparate generation panels, we need something that can essentially represent a universal file format that could be used for all those representations. So in essence, what the LGR format is about is having the ability to express IDN registration policies in the context of code point eligibility, and as well various different rules that might be associated with that. For example, defining what the variants are of specific code points, defining whole label variants, defining contextual rules. So, for example, certain variants would only apply if certain characters appeared in a certain sequence. The idea is, as I mentioned, this is a universal format. And, you know, we're talking today about the root LGR, but definitely it's a design consideration here that we want a format that is universally applicable. IDN tables to date typically are used at the second level, within registration policies within both GTLDs and CCTLDs. The goal here is to have a format that could be equally applicable at those levels. So I foresee a future where the IDN tables that exist today can be all represented in this LGR format, all be represented in a consistent machine-readable way, And that allows us to do many things. Firstly, there's clarity in terms of what the rules are. There should be no room for ambiguity if you follow this specification. And secondly, it enables reusability. So, you know, if you wish to use an existing LGR either as a policy or as a basis for a policy, it's available. There'll be tools to support it. It should be relatively easy to do that. So what does it enable? Well, fundamentally, this is the concept. You have two pieces to the LGR puzzle, which are represented in blue. Firstly, you have the file format that has a list of rules in it. And then secondly, you have a tool. The tool is an engine that understands LGRs and is able to process the XML file and apply it against the label. So if you have those two pieces, an LGR tool and the LGR file, you can insert a domain name. The LGR tool will check that domain name against the rule set, and then it will provide you with some kind of output. So for example, in the context of normal registry operations, that could be generating a set of one or more domains that result from that rule set. For example, what we see on the screen is essentially inserting that label into the LGR tool results in two labels that should be allocated and a third label that should be blocked from registration. The great thing about having a consistent machine-readable format is that we can do a lot of new things that we can't practically do today. For example, and this is particularly important in the context of the root LGR, you'll be able to use such a format to take multiple different tables, different rule sets, and perform operations such as merge them. So you could take Chinese, Arabic, and so on, merge them together in a single rule set. You can also compare them. We know today from experience there's a lot of IDN tables out there. One of the questions I often get is, well, what are the difference between some of these tables? And there's no easy way right now to have two tables and know, are these identical, are they similar? If you have a consistent file format and you have tools like these, you can do what we would technically call a diff and just see what are the differences between the two LGRs. So what is an LGR comprised of? Well, we took the basis of IDN tables as they exist today. For the most part, most IDN tables that exist today are a simple list of code points. They say, these are the characters that are needed for this particular script or language, and anything that's not on this list is not allowed. There are also some IDN tables that have a notion of variance, so that if you have a label with this particular code point, you should also either allocate or block this alternate code point in the same position. We've built upon this. We still have those concepts, and they're available in the LGR specification. But we also have several other pieces to the LGR. Firstly, we have character classes. This means that you can define groupings of code points and treat them in certain ways. One, I think, particularly beneficial thing we have here is you can rely on Unicode properties to help define code point sets. Often, in generating an IDN table, the author of that particular rule set is really consulting with the Unicode standard, reviewing a set of code points, checking their properties, and that's guiding their decisions about which code points to include and which code points not to include. Imagine that instead of literally enumerating every code point you find that meets your criteria, that you can use a simple set of rules to match against the Unicode database based on certain properties. So, for example, if you have a certain rule because a code point is of a certain Arabic joining type, rather than enumerating all those code points with that joining type, you can simply match against that rule in the Unicode database. It makes for much more concise and short tables. Another piece is the whole label evaluation rules. Here we're talking about contextual rules. We're talking about anything that is beyond merely checking the status of a particular code point. So if you have rules that say certain characters are only permitted after or before other characters, that could be represented. Certain characters can only be at the start of a label, at the end of a label, and so on. This is all possible. Finally, we have a section called actions. One thing about the existing corpus of IDN tables is that the actions as a result are often not defined, they're just assumed. We know that there's multiple consequences of generating a variant. You could delegate it, you can allocate it, you might block it from registration. There's several different verbs that can be used for as a result of your variant generation. So using the LGR format, you can actually intelligently describe what the action is of, as a consequence of a particular generated variant. So the result of all this is essentially you put in a label, you apply the LGR, you get a set of labels, and you get a set of dispositions for those labels. What should you do with those labels? So the next steps, you know, we've been working on the specification now probably 2 years, I think. But there's a recognition that we didn't want to finalize it until there was some usage of it. A lot of the design assumptions in the specification were really based around what we thought people needed. We're exercising the specification now as we get into the generation panels and the integration panels work. In fact, a lot of the recent development of the specification has derived from the integration panel, and their input has been very useful in bringing the standard to a high level. That being said, the more review, the better, and I would encourage those that use IDN tables, that would want to be involved in this LGR process, or otherwise have an interest in this, to review the specification. Just to reiterate, this isn't just about the root LGR. This provides the potential that as a TLD registry, rather than having codified rules inside your registry that are perhaps hard-coded or very specific to your language, you can instead implement a general LGR handler, and then you can plug and play LGRs to implement registry rules. It will make adding new tables much simpler in the future. One thing we expect to do beyond using this format for the root LGR is IANA maintains an IDN practices repository. Once this format is sufficiently mature, I would hope that we can migrate those existing implementers of IDNs to using that format, and we would update the IANA repository to use that format as well. I won't go into too much detail here. We're giving a very in-depth tutorial on the LGR format this afternoon. But in essence, the key takeaway from this slide is that you should be able to convert any of the existing IDN tables that we're aware of, at least, that are out there right now into this new format. The MSR is an example of using the LGR format. The ultimate integrated LGR will be another. You can use available tools to check validity. This is a benefit of us using XML as a basis. So there's a schema. You can check for errors in your table using existing tools. So a lot of the benefits of using XML we can apply indirectly to the table. So that's the quick summary.
Okay, so what we had planned next is a presentation from the Arabic community, but I believe the presenters are not here yet. So why don't we do? I think there's some preparation going on. Why don't we do take any questions that you might have on either the MSR that Michelle presented or the XML specification that Kim talked about, and then we'll go to the Arabic presentation. So do we have anything online? Any questions here in the room?
Okay. Nicoleta Monteanu for people attending in the Adobe room. A question for Kim Davis from James Mitchell. Does ICANN provide a reference implementation for the LGR tool?
We don't yet, but we intend to. And furthermore, we've been encouraging other parties in the community to develop their own implementations as well. We're aware of at least one other committed party in the community that will be implementing the LGR tool. As the specification evolves, we have internally two different implementations of varying levels of maturity. But as we get closer to finalizing the specification, we hope to make them complete reference implementations.
Go ahead, Edmund.
Thank you. Edmund Chung here. One quick question for Kim, and then I have a more general question. I don't know whether it's the right time to bring it up. Just a clarification. I see that you referenced RFC 3743 here. I understand that the integration panel or this particular phase of the project does not really look at certain kind of dispositions that were used in previous IDN variant tables, specifically for Chinese, the preferred variant concept. I just want to make sure that this particular XML format is not... Sorry, I haven't read the draft, but I want to make sure that it covers some of the dispositions that may not be part of at least the integration panel part of the project, from what I understand.
The answer is it should, and definitely RFC 3743 was a specific consideration. So we believe we've captured all the nuance in that specification in this new specification. It should be a complete superset of what's required. That being said, please do review it, and if you have any concerns that it doesn't capture something that is required, that's the kind of feedback we're looking for.
Thank you. And then I have a general... Is this the right time?
Go ahead with your more general question.
So one of the things I think as we move along, I was listening in early in the presentation, Naila, you gave. This work is built on the studies and then the integrated report. Sorry, forgot the actual names. But it's built on a number of documents from before. One of the things that I think maybe the integration panel perhaps could take a little bit of time to do is to look back at that and identify if there are any, going forward, whether there might be any inconsistencies or conflicts between some of the things that were said from the base documents to what we might be seeing from the outputs of this this exercise. And again, I come back to one. I'll be very direct in saying that one of the concerns, of course, from the Chinese community is how preferred variants is eventually dealt with. I understand this is the integration panel level, and those and this particular phase, we might not be specifically looking at the delegation part of things. However, what I want to make sure is that particular concept will not, at the later stage, be no longer eligible. And that whole concept means from the case study report and into the integrator report and all the documents from before. So that's kind of a suggestion and a question, whether the integration panel will look at it, have looked at it, whether there were any inconsistencies that could be potentially come out, and whether that would be summarized perhaps for the community.
Thanks.
Naila?
I'm going to turn this over to the integration panel to describe their method of work leading up to now. I do want to note that if you probably noticed, at least Nicholas Osler has been with the work since the beginning, so there's definitely continuity here. So why don't we hear from the integration panel? Thanks.
Yeah, so in general, the integration panel has been casting a very wide net of making sure that the background information is accessed and reviewed. In fact, we have looked back at the various parts of the integrated issues report for useful information in constructing the MSR. Remember, at this point, the only thing we have done is construct the MSR. In terms of what the mandate is of the integration panel, that, of course, is given specifically by the procedure document and everything in it, and the integration panel fully intends to make its part of the process comply with the framework that is set out in there.
Could I add, as someone who has actually been with the variance program pretty much from the beginning, the integration panel is setting out a framework here into which the LGR, the language panels, can submit. A lot of the issues which were being considered with the integrated report and in the previous working group reports which came are about the allocation of variables and the kind of clashes which will, of variants and the kind of clashes which can arise. The various groups should be aware of those when they have those reports at their disposal. Then they can decide in their own domains which choices they want to make, and then they will propose them, and hopefully we will dispose of them effectively and exactly. So I think all those issues can be met. It only requires alertness on the part of the different script the different script panels to make sure they're brought in. The framework is open for that.
Thank you for that. And from what I hear, it seems like it feels like the answer is yes. It is what has been done has been reviewed, and it's so far it is consistent, and it will not at least not looking to be conflicting. But I guess this is my suggestion, perhaps for the variant project team, is probably around the time where that if we can integrate that into some sort of statement or within some sort of report to make sure that that is still the case, that would be very useful for the community. There's always I think some of the questions James and Guo Wei asked are premised on just making sure that some of the things are not moving away from what we hope or what we had envisioned through the project. So I don't know. I wanted to ask more questions, but I'll.
Okay. So noted your suggestion, Edmund. Let me just see where the Arabic presenters are at, because I'd like to take that and not lose them. So, okay. So, Kowe, can I take your question afterwards, please? Is that okay?
Yeah, very shortly. I'd like to ask one question regarding once the labor generation panel is set it up and eventually come out with some final result from particularly community, do we still have a time to open comment from the different, different comment, for example, like from the end user registrant? Because I find that some of the labor generation panel, actually the panelists, they is only the registry guy, registered person. It's not really the community. Do we still have a time for the open comment like that, or that's done?
Asmus and Nicholas, are you? Did you take note of that question? I was preparing the this on this side. I'm sorry, Kowe. Asmus, I was asking a question. Did you take note of the question?
I did not understand the question.
Okay. Let's do it at a later. Okay. Right. So with us, I'm going to let the group introduce. Okay, so we have Tariq Ondi. Okay. So Tariq, please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Please excuse us that the original representative is not here, so I will do it instead of him. So we apologize for that. I will talk about our GP, our task force on Arabic script IDN, what we have done in the last few months and in the last few days here in Singapore. This is a history about community work done in IDN. You know that it was started from 2003, Arabic domain name task force has been, and the Persian and the Arabic also domain name pilot project until 2013. Now we have the task force for the Arabic script IDN. It was being generated from Middle East working group. You can see that IDN TLD is assigned for delegated from many countries which are speaking Arabic and other language using Arabic scripts, like Jazeera, like Saudi, like Pakistan, or uses Arabic scripts, not just Arabic language. Arabic script also, here we have examples of variants which we face. They are same, or we can say identical in context of normalization, like examples, you don't speak Arabic, but like ba harfi, the letter ba, 0643, and the letter B also, 0689. It's the same thing appears in between when it's in the middle of a word. And also there is a similar, which is not identical, but it's similar in the shape. Also this type of variance we have. We have a difference in shape, but it when in pronouncing it's the same, like in ha or ha with a different shape. Here also is a variant in examples, like it's for identical. You can see that the letter K or 0643 is just identical for each other, but it's from different code point. Here is the timeline for our formation. It was started in August 13. There was a call for membership for the task force for the AIDN by MESWE, the work group for Middle East. And you can see the formation of the task force has been done in October 13. And the formation consultation final draft proposal with ICANN IPPNIL was in December 13. And in January, there was a submission of proposal to ICANN for formation of Arabic script, GP. The membership, our membership till now is about 29 currently, from 11 countries. They are all speaking language with using Arabic script. For example, they are from Egypt, Germany. Germany just someone there which has PhD and more knowledge about African language, so he was very useful and helped us very much. Is that why you can say German is there in your GP? Iran, Jordan, Lebanon, Malaysia, Morocco, Pakistan, Palestine, Saudi Arabia, Sudan. Those are the countries representing in our GP. They are speaking more than nine languages. We hope we can get more persons more who speak more languages and to have more communication with the community to get more information about those even small languages spoken by thousands, hundreds of people in our region. With expertise in use of Arabic script from East Asia, South Asia, Middle East, North Africa, North Africa, most are Arabic. Africa, others, there is other language, small language in Africa. And coming from diverse disciplines, academia, and even from technical side of you. This is the information about the Arabic Day. You can see, find it in the website. And this is our method of work, open call for each work item within. And there was a volunteers developing the work item. Work item presented to task four for discussion. Then work item finalized with consensus. Discussion with task force. And every these steps you can find it in the website, the community icon, our task force. You can just check it there. Also, this is our development of the GP, general information composition work plans. You can just go through it. One of the important things we have done, and we take a lot of time in the past 3 days, was to generate principles for code points. In fact, we go through it code point by code point. And before going through it, we have to make principle to exclude or include or even differ which criteria, which we will use. So it took a time here. This example, if we found documentation and its guarantees and its current in use, this will be included. If it's we found document, but we don't have confirmation or prove that it's current in use, it's in differ. We make three parts with three categories, and if we have prove that it's not in use or it is not current in use or it is just historical or something, it will be excluded. This is the principle we used. Here in Singapore, we have our first face-to-face meeting in Singapore. 10 persons were supported by ICANN to come here to the face-to-face meeting from 20 to 22, 22nd of March. We, as you can see here, we use is divided by days, 1.5 days for character repertoire and a quarter of a day for general principles. We already discussed it before and do it, and here just to finalize the work of our principles, review the MSR, and then after that we have ICANN meeting programs from 23-26, what is going now, and there will be training also for IDN P1 in May, today, I hope. This is our next steps for our GP. And I think that's all we can say here. Shukran, thank you for you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Tarek. Thank you. And for the record, this was, is it Tarek Mergani?
It's Tarek Mergani.
Mergani, yeah. From Sudan.
From Sudan.
Thank you, Tarek. Okay. James, I have 3 questions online first, which I'm going to prioritize. So let's do those. It should be quick, and then we go to you.
Nicoleta Munteanu, for participants in the chat room, 3 questions from Ralph. What is ICANN doing to ensure community feedback actually occurs? In the new Brahmi script case, the community is either unaware or uninterested. Expecting community members to track ICANN at its meeting is not realistic. ICANN needs to be in those communities. What is your plan for outreach? The second question, what actions have ICANN taken from the feedback received from the IDN workshop in Argentina? I remember reading lots of comments, but it is not clear they are acted upon. And the third question and comment, is there a mechanism for the learnings from one generation panel to be shared to others? For example, it would be interested to see what Arabic script group has done since it impacts some languages used in India, like Kashmiri, etc. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole. So starting with the first question, so this is essentially the outreach question. And we do, I can't emphasize enough how much we've talked about this in the last few months in the office. We do realize this is a part of the procedure that makes it, that puts a lot of responsibility to do a lot more outreach than just relying on the ICANN meetings, for example. I can assure you that within the last two months, we've been working with our communications team to actually do a targeted outreach program. We're in the process of identifying some events and in the process of identifying more relevant events for us to go to and speak about this and encourage participation. We're using community executives on the ICANN management team, community members, and appealing to them to use their contact book to reach out to additional people. We're also looking at professional organizations to go into where this might be, this work might be of interest to them, basically to get these organizations to support their people to come to this type of work. So it's beyond volunteers on their own dime and in their own time doing this work. So I assure you that we're doing a lot there in that area, and if you have ideas for us, events, people, please by all means send them to us. I'm going to put up an email address that we need to advertise a little bit more at the end here that people could reach us at. For question number two, you're right, we received a lot of really good input in Buenos Aires, and what we started doing, starting with the Buenos Aires event itself, is we are taking all the questions and we actually publish what we're doing about the comments and questions we received. So if you go back to the Buenos Aires presentation, there will be a link that says community feedback on what we're doing with these comments and questions. And we plan to continue that every time we do one of these events. The last thing, the mechanism for learnings. So this is panel learnings, and it's something that is very much being discussed right now, is how panels can learn from each other. We've set up, it's called for in the procedure, and we've already set up one email address called lgr@icann.org that will essentially be communications and dialogue between panels and then between the generation panels and the integration panel. It has open archive. You can go back and review any of the discussions that are happening between panels. I'll go to you, James, please.
Thank you. James, first I'd like to congratulate you on the excellent work that's been done. I don't speak Arabic and I don't write Arabic, obviously, and there are dozens of experts out there that look study this in great detail. But the fascinating of IDNs, if there's a script that's more complicated than CJK, it's probably Arabic. And if you can get that work done well, I think between Arabic and CJK, we solve 80% of the IDN problem that is faced by ICANN today. So I have a keen interest, and I've been tracking on the Arabic progress from the very beginning on the VIP language groups and to the work today. I have a couple comments and some of the learning experience that we have from doing CJK that perhaps you can bring back to your group. Number one, Arabic, in the way that's being encoded in Unicode, is much a writing system that represents on how do it be printed, and therefore you have many ways that represent the same word, But because of the printing system, you either extend it or longer it, or you have different literature that signify for printing purposes. Because of how Unicode is designed for printing Arabic. But when it comes to doing identifier, then you have a problem because then you generate, for the same word, you generate multiple forms that may look slightly different. It is very complicated for you. One way is go back to look at the roots, not worry about the, once again, the visually confusable problem. Leave the visually confusable problem to ICANN. ICANN has an existing process in place to deal with visually confusable. The moment that your panel has to deal with visually confusable, your problem is almost unsolvable. That's one. The second thing is to understand that Arabic has specific rules on how you combine your characters in certain ways, and some ways are legal, some ways are not legal. I don't know the solution to that. I've seen some of your work in the RFC. Some of these rules may have to be feedback to the MSR group. The way that CJK deal with it is that we actually ignore the illegal because we assume that nobody is going to register an illegal combination rather than creating rules that forbids it. I mean, yeah, just for your consideration.
Thank you, James, for the kind words. James, I just want to say that there will be, I don't know if Tariq or anybody wants to comment on that, but I do want to say there will be more on the work of the Arabic panel this afternoon, so please join us there as well. No more questions from online? Any more questions from inside the room?
I have a question.
Go ahead, Tariq.
Sorry, I have a question. I don't know if you can say it from here or I have to go back there. In fact, I have two questions. First question about the MSR. You said that it for those who have start now and they already have their script in the MSR, they will not allowed or will not recommend it to make a change for an MSR2, I don't know if that will give limited time for those who were started earlier. I think it's for those who are not started or have not, they will have enough time to review and everything. It may not be fair. I don't know why. This is my first question. And my second question is about mixing. I just want to check. Before 2 days ago, we have a meeting. We talk about digits in the, and it's they are not accepted, of course. But we talk about digit 2, especially in Sindhi language or something like that. They use it for plural or something like that. And I have been heard that if it has been allowed to use the digit like 2, it will, in the root zone, we don't have language there. So any script, any other language can use this digit. And if it is, my question, is it allowed to make a mixing between scripts in the TLD, in the root zone, maybe between language, between Chinese script and Arabic script? Will it be allowed something like that? From what I have been understand from the talking about letter of digit 2.
I'm trying to answer that as much as I understand. I mean, the root is a shared resource. It doesn't mean you can mix scripts on the label. I mean, there's, in fact, fairly, there's a restriction on doing that, except for some, you know, communities like Japan, which has to mix Han ideograph on with the Kana characters. In most of the case, you don't mix scripts within the root. It's just that the root itself is a shared resource that does include multiple scripts. And we do apply the rules for the scripts independently of each other It's just that it's a shared resource. It still doesn't mean we are mixing scripts at, in the root for root labels. Second thing, I was going to react a bit to the feedback on MSR1. I mean, we are basically following the rules that ICANN gave us for, and we did our work in the time we were supposed to do the work. And now, to some degree, it's also to the community to react to the work that we did and provide feedback on due time. I would say, in fact, in the Arabic case, they've been doing their work, you know, on reasonably early, so that they're getting, you know, basically the resources to provide the feedback in due time. And we're still working on, you know, getting feedback, and we will adjust to it, we will answer it. We're not just, you know, it's not a done deal. On the other part about modification to MSR1, is more a concern of being stable. You want some stability, so it's not a moving target. Otherwise, it would be very difficult for LGR to work on their own repertoire if the base repertoire keeps changing. So there's a need to be stable. Like I said, it's not, you know, we're not saying that it will never change, but there is really, obviously, it's reasonably easy to add a few things. Removing things will be impossible, because then you have to look at everything that was delegated. Make sure you're not creating issue for delegated labels, to make sure that your new set doesn't prevent existing delegated labels to basically be valid. So there's much more work once you have started to delegate a root level TLDs to say, oh, gee, we made a mistake, we should remove that character. We can't do that anymore. So there's a need to be stable, and we need to make progress here. And obviously, there's some concern about some communities that did not provide feedback yet. You know, we are not getting much feedback from some, and that, to some degree, will be, you know, a shared answer what to do with that. And I'm not the one, obviously, as members of the integration panel, to make that decision. We have to decide what is MSR1, and, you know, sometimes we're even floating the idea to remove some scripts for which we're not getting feedback, because it may be dangerous to have, in fact, a MSR1 that contains content that has not been, that did not get any feedback on the content. That's, you know, we don't like that situation too much, but that's a decision that still has to be taken. At this point, we have MSR out, you know, people are encouraged to provide feedback onto it, and we will listen to every feedback we get. And we'll, you know, there's a lot of different process, and I'm sure the ICANN staff can, you know, go in more details how that would be done. But at this point, MSR1 is not done yet. We it's still a proposal out, and we have still a few months before we finalize the first version. And after that, there will be version 2, so it's not like, you know, the end of everything.
Okay, we're almost at end time, but I'll take your question, and then I'll check and see what we have online. And go ahead and cue Edmund. If it's a short question or comment, we'll take
it. Yeah, a very short question. I just want to know why the Japanese, the Chinese, and Korean languages, even Hindi languages, they have been left behind in making initial work on the script, because I know all these languages are highly resourceful languages linguistically. I just want to know the reasons why they have been left behind to do the initial work.
Are you asking why other panels are not as not as developed in terms of being constituted right now and doing their work?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, so again, this is, I'm going to call the word feature of the procedure. It's community-based. We have to work at the speed that the community works. These panels are actually, they're not left behind. They're in various stages of formation. And between now and the next meeting in London, hopefully you will see a few more come online and start their work. But from the preparation side, we're certainly in place and ready to support those teams, but we need them to also be ready on their end as well.
Thank you. Edmund Chung here. Probably can't answer this question right away, but I think this is very important. Part of the variant program is in the project number 7 and 8. I'm somewhat eager to see that come out and at least some sort of draft. The reason why is because they represent the actual delegation allocation of IDN variant TLDs, and that may or may not require policy adjustments or some additional policy work, depending on what exactly is brought up and proposed. And both from the GNSO and from the CCNSO side are waiting eagerly, I think, to see that come out, because as this work progresses, we still have that piece of work that potentially, in fact, both of the SOs will need to go back and take a look at whether, you know, additional policies may or may not to look at. So that process may take longer, and I think a lot of people are, especially new GTLDs, IDN TLDs, and also IDN CCTLDs that have variant considerations will need to, are hoping that process could proceed. So.
Thanks, Edmund. Noted. I do want to assure you that we understand. We are putting the bulk of our energies right now to implement the procedure and have an LGR materialize. But that's not to take away from the fact that we have been doing some work and basically identifying a lot of questions. You're right. There are some questions that we need to have answered for ourselves in order to be able to think about what the processes would look like. And so we expect in the next few months that we would have these questions more documented and to come to the community and ask for help and how to answer these questions. So we're certainly not trying to make any decisions, but I'll be completely honest with you, the bulk of our work, in fact, what we've been directed to do is to focus 80% of our time on this, specifically so that we don't have this, you know, some communities are getting left behind, some communities aren't ready. We really need everyone to rally behind the LGR procedure first, make it materialize, and we're not ignoring the other parts. Naively, perhaps we think that by the time we're ready for an LGR, we should be ready with the other processes, but you're absolutely right. It's something that we are aware of, and you should see us talk more about it in the future.
So basically, as much as you have, you know, throw it out first so that community can take a look at it. I guess we've been asking for 9 months or close to a year since the project has progressed to this particular phase. Any type of thoughts or draft would really help in that regard. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so we are a little over our time. I'm going to go ahead, unless I have any other quick comments or questions. I'm going to go ahead and close this session. Thank everyone for being here. I know we started really early. So thank you so much for your time. Thanks to the integration panel. And we hope to see all of you this afternoon when we will elaborate a little bit more even on what communities are doing and the integration panels as well. Thank you very much.